Welcome to worship at Advent this morning. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The prophet Jeremiah gives his hearers clues as to what true prophecy and a word from the Lord will entail. Prophets cannot be trusted to tell the truth, so hearers must discern the Lord's voice. A reading for the first lesson from the book Jeremiah. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord. Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, declares the Lord. I have heard what prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my words speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? It is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 82, found in the bulletin on page 4. Let us read it together. God takes his stand in the council of heaven. He gives judgment in the midst of the gods. How long will you judge unwisely? Do in favor of the wicked. Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and needy. Rescue the weak and the poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked. They do not know, neither do they understand. They go about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Now I say to you, you are gods, and all of you children of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall lie like mortals and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, and rule the earth, for you shall take all nations for your own. The great cloud of witnesses, those who have been faithful to God in ages past, cheer and gird their sons and daughters in the Spirit, that is, us, to seek the joyous redemption of God in Jesus Christ. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke. I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, and this is a really challenging passage where Jesus talks about the impact of his message. Starting at verse 49, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already started. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Pause for a moment. Doesn't this sound like a swell fellowship to be a part of? But the point is that the gospel really does bring division. Then back to verse 54. And he was also saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, it'll be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him, so that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent. The Gospel of the Lord. This morning I want to speak on verse 1 of Hebrews 12 that Lewis read earlier. Before we get there, I want to make a couple of comments that are kind of in the form. One is an announcement. But first of all, we had a wedding yesterday, beautiful wedding. The officiant did amazingly well. Beautiful wedding, but what impacted me really positively was Friday had come in to get some instruction on the sound system. And during the course of that time, there were about a half a dozen people getting ready for the service on Saturday. And then again, a couple of people for the rehearsal that night, and then even more people Saturday morning. And a part of what I want to say is somewhere between 6, 7, 8 people came without recognition to help make this a really special day for the bride and groom. That's what servants do. It wasn't for recognition. It was to help this young couple get started. It happened to be Kathleen Huffman's granddaughter. And I was just edified to see all the support that went on behind the scenes. So if I could give you a smiley face, I would. But thanks for that help. And secondly, this is something that has been marinating with my brother and I since early spring. Starting on September 11th with the endorsement of the vestry, my brother and I and two other people will be starting a weekly praise and worship service at 7 o'clock on Wednesday at Advent. It'll be a non-denominational service that will be open to many different churches in the area. We're just starting publicity. You'll be hearing more about it next week and the weeks to follow. This is not an Advent initiative, but Advent hopefully will be welcome. You'll feel welcome to come My hope is that ultimately there will be people who come to this service who are looking for a more traditional service for Sunday morning that will help fill the pews for Advent. But for us, this is something that we have wanted to do for a while, and we believe that God might be in it. But it's a test. We don't know. We hope that we'll eventually be able to fill the sanctuary on Wednesdays. But we'll start with four and see how it grows. So that's coming. So now on to Hebrews 12, just verse 1. My first 10K race was in Columbus. And the run, it was a wonderful experience. The run started in front of a huge crowd of people who were there to support. There were if there were at least 2,000 runners in the event. And so that was an exhilarating, energizing experience. And to begin running with people applauding, that was really a fun thing to see. And prior to the event, I spoke and listened to a bunch of the people who were there. Many of them were like me. This is how you begin to learn to run. And we really didn't know what to expect. Some people brought extra shirts wrapped around them in case it got especially perspiry. It was a very hot early summer day that we began. Others brought water sprayers. Some brought water bottles, music, just all kinds of different things to try to make the run a little bit easier. But as we got along the route, I would say 2 miles into the event, you saw all kinds of things scattered along the runway. Backpacks that people realized were too heavy, water bottles, even saw a few cassette players. Now, this was a long time ago, so they didn't drop phones, but cassette players. And the sponsors of the event provided water about every quarter mile along with misters, so they took very good care of us. But it was one of those things that you didn't know what to expect. I had been training since the day after Christmas, running every morning, playing racquetball 2 or 3 times a week. And by the time the race came, I felt I was fairly prepared. I had only run 2 to 3 miles at a time. This was a little bit over 6 miles. But my goal was not to win the race, and trust me, I didn't. The goal was to finish. And by God's grace, I did that. And a surprise at the end, even though I was definitely not at the beginning of the group of runners, there was still a crowd that was waiting for us and applauded as we came into the stadium. Very, very edifying. So think about that concept as I reread Hebrews 12:1 from the NASB. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Each one of us is in a race. And that's an important thing to grasp, that our goal and our destination isn't here. It's somewhere else. We're in the process of moving toward what God has prepared for us. And the Bible clearly says that if you endure to the end, that you will receive a promise that's beyond your understanding, which is eternity with the Lord. And the goal of the Hebrews 12 race, it's a wonderful promise. There are two parts of it that I want you to think about: the great cloud of witnesses and the need for discipline. Using my feeble attempt at my first 10K, it's a wonderful thing to understand that where I am is not where I'm going to end up. That God has a purpose and a destiny for each one of us beyond where we are. So first, the concept of the inspiration of the great cloud of witnesses that I experienced at that stadium at the beginning of the race. On earth, we have witnesses. We have people that have encouraged us by the way that they live. We have witnesses in heaven, saints that have gone before us, both people that we know, but also saints that are referred to in the Bible, who ran the race, were completely not perfect, but still finished the race. Talking about not being perfect, I took all the pressure off of myself this morning during the first service. As I was being handed the the wafers. I fumbled and dropped several of the wafers on the floor. We still had enough to put on the altar and to consecrate, but so now I don't have to worry about trying to be perfect today. It ain't going to happen. But the key isn't that we be perfect. In the Bible, when it says perfect, it means perfected. It means being appropriately mature for where you are in life. And that's a part of the fact that we're not finished. Now, here's something that I read this week that I found really fascinating. In our lifetime, the average person, wherever they live, tends to come into contact with over 10,000 people. So think about that. That in your life, by the time it's over, you will have some level of contact with 10,000 or more people. So the idea is that, yes, we have witnesses, but for many other people, we are a witness to what it means to be a man or woman of God. By the way we live, by our attitude, by our non-judgmentalism, amen? By the way that we think, by the way that we interact with other people when we're in stress. We are witnesses in the same way that we have witnesses that have encouraged us. I mentioned the stadium at the beginning of my run. They were encouragers in the same way that you, by the way that you deal with adversity. If I took a mic around to each one of you, you could talk about challenges, disappointments, and pain that you've experienced in your life. That's a part of the race that we're in. In the race in Columbus, people stumbled and fell. Most of them got up and kept running because they wanted to finish the race. I want to talk to you about one person this morning, with permission. His name's Bill Goodrich. He's a man that I have known for decades. When he was in his mid-20s, and I want you to think about this as a witness that he is for us and a witness that he is to other people. When he was in his mid-20s, he was thinking that he would like to begin to visit people in nursing homes. His opinion was that there were many people who were just isolated, had no one to come and share with them. And so we talked, and he decided just to start doing that. And he started by, on Sunday mornings, going and wheeling people in wheelchairs from their rooms to a service. That's all he did. He began to interact with people. One Sunday morning, the pastor who was supposed to share the message didn't show up. And Bill thought about the notes that he had taken from Sunday morning at his church, my former church, and he shared that message. And that began to build a relationship and an idea in his life that maybe he could really do this. He started a Bible study, found a few people who were interested in going to nursing homes. They did it. They talked about it. They talked about how they could better share and encourage people in that stage of their life. It continued. He had a nice job at Alcoa. He felt like this could be the beginning of a full-time ministry at some point in his life. So while he was working, he did two things. He went back to school to earn a Bachelor of Divinity degree, and he also, along with his wife, over a course of just a few years, paid off their house. It was a modest home, but then they were debt-free, and they took additional funds and put it in a savings account so that they would be able to test what they thought might be God's call in their life, which was to serve residents in nursing homes for the rest of their lives. And they accumulated enough that they could live a Spartan life for 3 years and test God's call to see if they were to go full-time in a nursing home ministry. So he finished his degree. He retired after 13 years from Alcoa and went to work with this idea of establishing a ministry to nursing home people over 3 years. He went to several nursing homes, but he began to see that many churches didn't know how to care for people in their church who were in nursing homes. So he developed a little curriculum and began to offer this service to churches at no charge. I would love to come and train a team who goes into nursing homes to care for people. And he did that. That went on. And after the 3 years, They were barely able to survive, but they lived, they got donations that allowed them to continue full-time to do this. Now, many years later, he started in 94 full-time. He now has written a couple books. He has on DVD a training program for nursing home ministers. In Northeast Ohio, he has trained over 8,000 volunteers to effectively go into nursing homes. He teaches at national conferences on how to do this more effectively. He's a part of an organization that trains others nationally. It's an amazing thing. It started with him having an idea that maybe God was calling him to go into a nursing home, to be a light to others. And it has led into an amazing full-time ministry that is impacting not just Northeast Ohio, but other parts of the country. And a part of it is, so he is a witness. You may think that that in your life that you are you have physical issues, you're old. What could you possibly do? Bill found a way that he could serve using who he is and what he has, and has made an amazing impact on the lives of others. I want you to consider that today. Are there ways in which you could use what God has given you to be a blessing to someone else who doesn't have what you have? To me, that's a part of being a witness. We are in a race, but we're also a witness by the way we live. You don't have to do what Bill did, but are there ways that you can use the gifts that God has given you to make a difference in the lives of other people? It is not just about us. We're in a race, but we also are a witness to other people. And then finally, I want to talk about the most probably uncomfortable part of it, and that's the concept of endurance. That, as I mentioned in beginning to learn to run, you have to build up endurance. I have mentioned to you in the past that when I started running, I tried to jog around the block and got jogging past about 6 houses. Then I was done. And so you slowly build up your ability, lungs and legs, to go further and to do more. And I believe that's a part of what we need to see for our life, that we are witnesses who are in a race, and that we need to make sure that we are building endurance in our lives. To me, prayer and Bible reading are a part of that endurance. You don't have to go jogging. You don't have to do what Bill did or what I did long ago to start running. But you need to build endurance so that when trials come, and they have come and they will come, that you're equipped to handle it because you're current with God. You understand how by his Holy Spirit he can strengthen and keep you, even when things happen in your life that you had dreaded. By God's grace, you can go through it. I was talking with my brother about that this week. His wife died last year. About how could life go on? And yet life goes on, and he has been able to continue to be not simply a granddad and a brother, but to be a blessing to others. And when I mentioned the praise community, that's about that concept that maybe together we could do a little bit more than we've done. Consider that. I mentioned the people who were so important in making sure that the wedding would go off without a hitch. It was the people that were serving, it was not their wedding, but they had a commitment to make a difference in the lives of others. One of the things that I had also mentioned in the 10K, and I will slowly wrap this up. We'll see how slowly in just a moment. But there were hindrances. People threw things away. After Tammy had died, I was doing quite a bit of traveling, and I decided that it was silly for me to pay for cable. At that point, 3.5 years ago, it was about $160, and so I canceled it, and I realized I didn't need cable. It didn't enhance my life. So I was amazed. So what I did by doing that, I gave myself a $160 pay raise. It was a little thing that wasn't evil, but it wasn't necessary. And so it fell to the side of the road and actually gave me just a little bit more freedom. What kinds of things in your life are good but not necessary that you don't need to burden yourself with? When I moved out of my home after it sold, got rid of 90% of my stuff, wasn't necessary. It was good, but it wasn't necessary, and it gives freedom. Anything that doesn't make us stronger can be excess weight and baggage in our lives. Ponder that for yourself. Are there things that you do and that you have that are a burden rather than a blessing? This past week, my brother and I were given tickets to a Tribe game, 7 rows up from the third base dugout. It was amazing. The players were much larger than they were on the TV, so that was fun to see. And in front of us were 4 young men, probably in their mid-20s, who had some sort of a drinking contest going. And they, beer after beer, they chugged and talked about who was going to win. And then toward the end of the game, one of the guys said, "It's going to be tough to get up for work tomorrow." Sometimes the things that we do, drinking isn't a bad thing. Maybe to excess it's not the best, but some of the things that we do can make it hard for us to be and do what we need to do, so we put them aside. Finn and I had chuckled about that. Are there things in our lives that are unnecessary? So we have a cloud of witnesses behind us. We are a part of a cloud of witnesses for other people that bring impact and encouragement into their lives by the way that we live. Listen to this verse from Hebrews 10:36. "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." I have need of endurance. Perhaps you do too, that we haven't yet received the fullness of the promise of God. So we train ourselves in Scripture with personal disciplines so that when opportunities in relationships and open doors come, that we're able to go through it. The race, your race, and my race is not over. There is still service. There is still work to be done. Let's continue our service together today by standing and sharing together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people this morning are Form 4, which can be found on page 7 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. Let us pray for the church and the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We ask your blessings on the servicemen and women and their families, and all first responders who we depend on. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We also remember the homeless and those on Advent's prayer list. We ask for health and recovery for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Sharon, Steve, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art, George, and Dave. For the Friends of Advent, for Tony, Sylvia, Trevor, Ken and Jim, and the Eliza Jennings residents. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Please join with me in the prayer on page 8. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's share that.
Good morning. It's that time of year again. If you're so inclined, up in Marblehead, Church of the Holy Assumption is having their Hallooky Festival. If you haven't had a Hallooky, come on up about noon to 5. We'll be up there. It's great times. Thank you.
Today.
So let me just elaborate a bit on Paul's comments at the early part of his sermon about the praise community. He approached me some weeks ago about the possibility of Advent sharing our facility for this group of renegades or remnants or believers or witnesses or whatever you call yourselves.
All of the above.
All of the above, right. And I said, Paul, it's a great idea. We'd love to have this facility used every hour of every day. And so if there's a way for this space to be used to worship the Lord and build community, then that's a wonderful thing. We talked about it at the vestry. The vestry was wholeheartedly behind it. It helps that we know one of the renegades, or both of them, actually, Finn and Paul. But I just wanted to reiterate that this is a real opportunity for this facility to be used to worship the Lord in ways beyond what we're doing as a church community. So thank you, Paul, for taking that initiative.
Thank you.
I think Bev, Denise is going to talk about upcoming Revelation.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, good. So I'll come to this side. I'm Pete Meckes. And so I'm here to remind the men of Advent that Men's Night Out is tomorrow night at 6:30 at Burntwood Tavern on Great Northern Boulevard. There will be someone to pray with you and back during communion. Peace be with you.
I am not Pete Meckes, but I want to announce that it's time to present our offerings to the Lord. We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who by water and the Holy Spirit has made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth thy glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. For the words of consecration, I want to read from 1 Corinthians, and you'll find that this is really almost a quote of what is in the book. But I wanted to also have you hear this last verse, verse 26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When we come together like this, we are shouting, announcing Jesus' death and resurrection. And one of the terms that's sometimes used for Holy Communion is Eucharist, which is an untranslated Greek word that means to give thanks or thankfulness. So this is not simply a morbid time, but it's a time to give thanks for what the Lord has done. Now hear the words from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith to receive. with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Please delay your response to my benediction for 2 seconds. Go in peace, serve the Lord, and go tribe.